Not long ago, a friend of mine was recalling to me a conversation that she had with her daughter. As Easter approached, she was struggling to get through to her 4-year-old daughter, Maya, the meaning of Easter. The conversation went something like this. Mommy, will the Easter Bunny bring me purple jelly beans? I'm sure he will bring you purple jelly beans, Maya, but remember, Easter isn't about the bunny, it's about Jesus. But will they be purple? Yes, honey, I'm sure there will be some purple ones in there. Honey, the important thing about Easter isn't the bunny. Easter is about how much Jesus loves you and loves the whole world. Mommy, how many jelly beans will there be at Easter? Maya, I'm sure the Easter Bunny will probably bring you plenty of purple jelly beans. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Mommy. Yes, Maya. Will he bring me Tootsie Rolls too? You see, for a 4-year-old, Easter bunnies and purple jelly beans and Tootsie Rolls may seem way more interesting than Jesus. They're enough to make Easter fun. And fun, for a 4-year-old, is enough. Although Easter hasn't gotten to the point of having as many consumer and cultural distractions as Christmas, sometimes it is the same for adults. Lilies and new clothes and family visits and Easter dinner preparations can consume our time and attention. Showing up at church on Sunday morning for some of us is just part of the gig. And we come expecting little more than candy-coated cliches. But my guess is that unless you are 4, you are looking for something beyond candy-coated cliches. I believe this is why so many of us come to church on this day. We want to know something of what her mother was trying to get through to Maya. Her mother knows that Maya won't always be 4. And sooner or later, Maya, indeed all of us, will encounter the dark night of heart-wrenching grief, devastating disappointment, or smothering guilt. And when we do, we need more than bunnies and jelly beans. I wonder when that need for more will hit Maya. Will it be when she's bullied at school and feels like there's no one to turn to? Will it be when she's betrayed by her so-called best friend? Or has her heart broken by the person around whom she's built her whole life? Or perhaps one day she'll look in the mirror and admit to herself that she has been the bully or the betrayer or the heartbreaker. And knowing that she can never undo the damage done will make it hard for her to keep looking at that face staring back the mirror. Maybe she'll be on a mission trip and she'll meet people who own none of the things that make her happy, but who possess a joy that she has never known, and she will feel the darkness of an empty soul. Maybe she'll be waiting at the airport to greet a relative's flag-covered casket, and a frightening anger will blanket her soul. Will it be the day that she's told by the doctor that it's not just a cold after all? Or will it be a middle-of-the-night family crisis when she's looking into the desperate eyes of her own child, and she realizes she doesn't really know him, and worse yet, he doesn't want her to. Maybe she'll be spoon-feeding the frail, beloved mommy who once fed her, whose strong body once gave her piggyback rides. And a sense of powerlessness will overtake her. Maybe it will be the day when her life's work ends with a memo and a deadline for cleaning out her office. Or when she encounters some insidious, systemic expression of violence or exploitation or racism or classism or some other horrifying, life-quenching ism. And the human capacity for cruelty will astonish and paralyze her, and she will need more than bunnies and candy cliches. And that is when we really need to know what Easter is all about. That might have been how Mary Magdalene felt that first Easter morning. It was just so dark outside. Violence and fear hung like a dark cloud over her once adventurous life of following and learning from this teacher around whom she had reoriented all of her days. The light that she had once known, that had once shone upon her, had been extinguished on a Roman cross. Not only was it dark in the world that morning, it was dark in her soul. Where there had once been a glimmer of hope, there was now only despair. And while it was dark, she came to the tomb. There, in the darkness of her life, she was surprised by the light of Easter. And her story has become our story. It has become the Christian story. It is the story we remember and celebrate together today. It is the heartbeat of the Christian community. It is the hope to which we cling and the promise upon which we stand. It is the very essence of the Christian faith. It is more than cliche. So what is it about? In the final analysis, it is about life. Easter is about the power of life. Easter is the power that gave you a pulse, calling you by name, and promising that long after your pulse stops beating, that power will go on. It's called eternal life, but it doesn't start after your pulse stops beating. Easter assures us that eternal, abundant life, what the Bible calls Zoe, not only goes on forever, but is available to us here and now. And that's what the resurrection is all about. Because we all know that having a pulse does not guarantee a full life. One can have bios, biological life, and not have Zoe, the energy of God. One can have a heartbeat, but no heart for living. An essence, but no energy. Easter addresses the universal human longing to tap into that more. You may call it meaning. You may call it peace. You may call it purpose. St. Augustine called it the longing for God, the restlessness that only finds rest in God. Paul Tillich called it the ground or the power of being. Kierkegaard called it the leap of faith that quells anxiety. And all of us are seeking it in one way or another. We want to know the more. We want to know God, whether we call it God or not. Easter is the Christian answer to that longing. It is knowing that death is not the end, and a pulse alone is not living. But if you're not sure about exactly what that means, if you feel in the dark about that, you're in good company. You see, Mary came to the tomb thinking that death was the end for Jesus. She goes in the dark, presuming to prepare Jesus' body for burial. She's resigned to the finality of death. She's grieving. And at first, she doesn't even recognize new life when it is standing right in front of her. But when the risen Christ speaks her name, Mary, she knows. Maybe you can relate to Mary. Maybe on this Easter you are resigned to the futility of life, to the awful pain and finality of death. Perhaps death of a beloved friend or a family member. Perhaps the death that pervades the culture, tragic deaths that come as a result of war and exploitation and terrorism and random violence. Perhaps the death of a life-sustaining relationship or business. Maybe even one or more of you or of these things has convinced you that not much in this life makes sense. And although you are breathing, your heart is beating. It's also breaking. There's been so much loss and sorrow in your life, and you showed up today not looking for life, but expecting to find more of the same: Easter bunnies and jelly beans, some candy-coated cliches that do not touch the real questions of your life or bring comfort to your sorrow and your struggle. Perhaps on this Easter, you can relate to the men who came to the tomb after Mary's announcement that the tomb was empty. You followed others to church and looked into this whole Christian thing, and you just don't understand. You just don't see the proof for such claims. Here's the great thing about the gospel story. The ones who come to the tomb, they don't see Jesus. They don't get any proof. They just go back home. They continue to hang out with each other behind locked doors in fear. Until one day, Jesus appears to them in the midst of their dark night. When Jesus appears to the disciples, he first shows them his scars. "Touch my wounds," he says. "See here the evidence of the lowest point in my human life, the time in my life when I was betrayed and defeated and overcome, when I had been beaten down and tortured, and was myself questioning why would God forsake me." This is what the scars point to: not his triumph, but his tragedy. Not his victory, but the time when he was vilified, victimized, a time of pain and struggle. Now, think how things could have gone. He could have shown up and said, look here, friends, it's me, completely healed. Nothing they did had any effect on me. I'm perfect again. But he says, hey, I'm scarred. I'm wounded. But these wounds will not keep the energy and life of God from flowing through me to you. Easter is not a promise that your business or your family or the church or the world will be like it used to be, or even that your pulse will go on beating forever. It's a promise that the power that gave you that pulse will never, ever abandon you. That power that gave you a pulse will never, ever abandon you. The power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise you from despair or despondency or struggle or numbness. And that same power is calling you by name and is still at work doing a new thing in you and in the church and in the world. Easter is the promise that nothing in your past, present, or future has the ultimate power to define you. You are defined by Zoe, the energy, the life of God that flows through you, that flows through all of creation, making all things new. This is where we find the meaning of Easter, not in the tomb of proof, because proof won't satisfy your longing for life anyway. But in God's Zoe, God's energy, God's life, present in history and in the here and now. The way of life is calling us. The way of resurrection. If you would, put your hand on your pulse. Just as surely as blood is pulsing through your veins right now, the Zoe of Christ, the life that cannot die, is pulsing through creation, making all things new. We are called by name to receive that new life and to share it with abandon throughout the world. And that, my friends, that is better than any bunnies or jelly beans or candy-coated cliches. That is the reason for all our alleluias. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia.